So, Dan, when the season begins, what's your excitement level? You play around with these rosters for 6 months. You look at free agency, possible trades, and now you actually get to see a Ubaldo Jimenez out there and a David Lowe out there. How exciting is that for you as the general manager?
Well, we got a chance to see the club in spring training. It's always nice to come up and have the home fans see the actual team and all the new faces. You know, I've told people all along, I believe they're going to like David Lowe and how he can help us win a game. He's got good speed, excellent defender, and, you know, I think he's a good offensive player, exciting base runner as well. And, you know, Nelson Cruz, of course, got off to a great start. He's contributed offensively, made a nice catch in the outfield. So it's always nice for the fans to see that, but it's also nice for them to reconnect with our, you know, core players, the players that they like. And, you know, we had a terrific wave of orange and black for opening day, which I was really excited and happy to see. I think out of, you know, all the fans that were here that day, you know, I saw a lot of orange and black. And I think a couple of years ago when we played a couple of these rival teams in the division, there was a lot more of their fans here. But now there are fans, and they're here to support the Orioles. And, you know, our guys really appreciate that. They appreciate the energy that the fans bring to the ballpark. And, of course, it's a great compliment to our players when the fans are wearing their jerseys.
I think the first few days of the season, there's a tendency for everybody to overreact to any anomaly that might take place early in the year. Do you have to tell yourself, don't look too deeply into that outing, that 0-for-8 start with 3 or 4 strikeouts? Is that a challenge for you to do even after all these years?
Well, I think it's important for, you know, players to make a good first impression. Like Steve Lombardozzi got a base hit last night. He hit a line drive the at-bat before it, so I'm sure he felt good about that. Evan Meek, in his home debut, came in and he threw strikes all spring training, and you know, he didn't throw strikes as consistently in the home debut, but we still got out of it. So, you know, I mean, those things happen, you know, until you get a game or two under your belt. But I know the players all want to do well, and I know the fans are here to see the players do well. So it's nice when they do it. When they don't do as well as you hoped or the fans hope, I think sometimes you have to take a step back and have a little bit more patience. But, you know, the idea for when you have a team that is giving the fans hope in the spring is to deliver on some of those promises and play their best.
And these games do count in April. There's a lot of time to make up ground in baseball, but they do count in the end. They do add up in one column or the other.
Well, they all add up, and we know from experience it takes 90 wins and sometimes a few more to make the playoffs. So our aim and our intent is to get back to the playoffs. So we know if we're going to do that, our team has to have good depth, and we got to be able to compete against the best teams in baseball in the American League East, and we got to be able to prevail against those teams and you know, win our share of those games. You know, last year Cleveland made the playoffs, and you could argue that they had a schedule within their division against teams that didn't have the record or the wherewithal of the teams in the American League East.
Definitely true.
So, you know, we know that is a reality. So we got to go out and deal with our own reality, and our guys are, I believe, up for the challenge.
I want to ask you about a very special weekend you just had in Montreal, Canada. First, Tyler Kepner, national baseball writer for the New York Times. I had him on my show a couple of weeks ago. He wrote a great article about the Orioles and you specifically. He also picked the Orioles to win the American League East. And he kind of created this odd thing where in 1994, the Montreal Expos, of course, were the best team in the National League that year before the players went on strike. And some believe maybe one of the best teams that never was able to see it through because of the strike, but perhaps in the 1990s. And then 10 years later in 2004, of course, you weren't the general manager anymore, but you had built a world championship club with the Boston Red Sox. And here we are in 2014, 10 years later, and Kepner came up with that. I know he talked to you about that. That was pretty interesting.
Well, I like Kepner's thinking.
It works, hopefully.
And he can count by tens, we know. But, you know, I mean, 94 Expos were a good team. You know, I was looking at it the other day because we were up there. They honored the 94 Expos over the weekend, and I went there along with Felipe Alou, the manager. And, oh, that great outfield was there. Larry Walker, the greatest Canadian player, Marcus Grissom, and Moises Alou, they were all there. So that was good to...
What an outfield.
It was good to reconnect with them. Of course, Joe Kerrigan, former Oriole, was our pitching coach. But it was nice to get up there and reconnect with him. But Jonah Carey just wrote a book on the 1994 Expos, and he did a nice job. And I think Tyler Kepner had just got done reading that book when he came to town. And you know, Tyler likes this Oriole team because they were able to compete with the Yankees. And he also, of course, followed Buck's team, the Yankees, in 1994. Now, people may not know this, but the Yankees and the Expos had a 70-43 record.
Amazing.
Exact same
August
record,
12th?
Yeah, at the time of the strike, yeah, through the games of August 11th. So, I mean, those are probably, for both Buck and I, the, you know, the two of the best teams that we were. Because if you take that record and extrapolate over 162, those teams were on pace to win 111 games. You know,
amazing.
Almost unheard of. So very good teams, but they didn't get a chance to fill their promise. So that's gone. I mean, that's that opportunity.
It doesn't keep you up at night.
Right. I mean, that opportunity is gone. It's 20 years ago. But, I, you know, I like Kepner's thinking that, you know, the Orioles have a contending team this year. And our guys believe that. I mean, we got a good lineup. Cruz gives us a little bit more depth. We got Davis and Jones returning. Markakis and Lowe, if they can get on base and set the table, would certainly help. And then we got JJ and Matt down in the order. Now, we still want to get Manny Machado back because Manny's a difference maker, right? He can make a huge difference with his glove and contribute offensively and with his base running and his great arm. So we're still looking forward to that for 2 weeks out. But you know, those clubs, you know, Buck and I kid each other. You know, who do you think would have won that series?
That would have been a good one.
Well,
Kenny Hill versus Melito Perez or something?
Yeah, well, Kenny Hill, he was up to the reunion, and Kenny's from Massachusetts, so I got to know Kenny pretty well. I said, Kenny, how many games you win in 1994? He said, well, I won 16. So he was on pace to win 20 games. That was the best year of his career. John Wetland was up there, and a year later, Wetland was a was in New York,
yep.
Right? He was a closer for the Yankees, and I think that was I don't know if that was Buck's ball club or not. I think it was, but you know, so things change. But you know, those were good ball clubs. You know, we have a good opportunity here with the Orioles now in the 2014 season to, you know, see this through and get back to the playoffs.
Dan, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, Brett, thanks.